Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I speak to you in the name of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Trinity Sunday. Last year, I gave a sermon full of the theology of the Trinity, complete with examples of heresies people fall into when they try to explain the whole three persons in one thing that we have going on when we try to describe God. This year, I'm starting and ending with the biblically sound fact that God is perfect love. And we believe it's the love between the three persons of the Trinity. The Reverend Dr. Joseph S. Pagano puts it this way: saying God is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is a way of naming the God we know in the salvation of Jesus Christ. The action of God in Jesus Christ is the action of the God who is love from beginning to end. The God of love who created us out of and for love. The God of love who took our humanity, the burden of our guilt, and put an end to it on the cross. The God of love who through the Holy Spirit now offers forgiveness so that we can participate and share God's forgiving love with the world. God is love, a trinity of loving persons who gives out of love and forgives out of love and calls us to participate in a community of love through our own acts of giving and forgiving. There you go. That's the Trinity in a nutshell. Now we can move on. Today's lectionary readings have a strong theme of creation running through them. That is what I want to focus on. I hope you didn't tune out the reading from Genesis. We know it so well. It's easy for our minds to stray. It is both the first and the newest of the two creation stories in the Bible. Scholars believe it came from the priestly source that was material created by the priests who were descendants of Aaron. And it was created around the time of the Babylonian return from Babylon in the 6th century. In this account of creation, God did not start from nothing. Darkness covered the face of the deep. Then God spoke and things started happening. We do see the Trinity of the Godhead at creation. God spoke, Jesus is the Word, and the Holy Spirit moved over the deep. God created time first. He created light and separated it from the darkness, and there was morning and evening, and we had the first day. God created the heavens and the earth with land and oceans. It is at this point we get a clue about God. God looked at what he had done and saw that it was good. This God of love didn't sit in front of some divine computer and type in, "Well, let's make it round," and blue, maybe some brown. He made deeply satisfying artistic decisions when he was creating the universe. He was creating out of love and making the world reflect that love. Day after day, we hear that God said that what he had created was good. All the plants, the sun, moon, the stars, the sea creatures and birds, the land animals, and finally us. Each day of creation, up to the sixth day, God said that what he had created was good. On the sixth day, after creating everything, God said it was very good. Now, I am a creative person, and I can almost conceive of the delight God took in the work of creation. I am constantly delighted by what God has created, whether it's a magnificent redwood tree, or a waterfall, or the stars, or the star at the center of an apple when you cut it in half and you open it up, there's a perfect star there. I'm constantly in awe of the perfection of creation. No wonder God said it was very good. On the seventh day, God rested from all the work that he had done, and so he blessed that day and made it holy. To make something holy means to separate it, to take it away from the profane. So he made the seventh day holy, and we call it a Sabbath. And I will preach on that on another day. That's a whole nother sermon. Verse 27 in Genesis chapter 1 says, "So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." So what does it mean to be created in the image of God? Well, it must mean that we are blessed to also be capable of great love and creativity. That is what God has made us for. We have been given the responsibility to keep creating and to love all that God has made. We aren't always successful and are led astray by self-interest, but God has given us the means to carry on the work that began in the beginning. And that is what the readings from the New Testament give us. In 2 Corinthians, Paul tells the fractious Corinthian church to put things in order and to live in peace so the God of love and peace will be with them. Live in peace. Although it seems we're not doing a very good job of it overall, we must keep on trying, one interaction at a time. It is the peace and love that flows from Christ that will draw the world to him. And by the way, among other things, as Christians, we are called to create a new world that ushers in the kingdom of God. In the final verses of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells us how. These last verses of Matthew are super important. They are full of images that harken back to other places in that gospel. The verses can almost be seen as a compendium of the whole of Matthew's theology. The sea is set in Galilee. 11 disciples gather there as Jesus had instructed. They are on a mountain, always a place to go to encounter God. They, unlike other Gospels, have not yet seen the risen Jesus. The last time they had seen Jesus, they had deserted him. The setting on the mountain reminds us of Jesus on other mountains. In chapter 8, where Jesus refuses to accept from the devil what he later will accept from the Father. And in chapter 5, where Jesus gives them commandments. This passage says that when the disciples saw Jesus, they worshiped him, but that some doubted. Is that not always the way? The church is full of people who are sure in their faith and full of people that follow Jesus even while they have doubts. And it didn't matter and doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference to Jesus. He tells all of them, believers and doubters alike, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So there's no need to worry about other authority figures. All authority rests in Jesus through God the Father. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is known as the Great Commission. And when you think about it, it must have seemed nearly impossible for the 11 disciples. They, a group of itinerant nobodies, were expected to take the good news of Jesus Christ into a world that had just crucified Jesus Christ for that good news. And they were supposed to take it to all the world. This commission negates the prohibition that had been in chapter 10, verses 5 and 6, where Jesus instructed the disciples to go nowhere among the Gentiles. This commission is the realization of the promise made to Abraham in Genesis. The disciples were, first of all, to welcome people into the body of Christ by baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Welcome first. Welcome first. That, my friends, is something you are very good at. Then they were to teach people to obey everything that Jesus had commanded them. This is not just love God and love your neighbor. This is everything they learned from following him, watching him, and listening to him. It must have been overwhelming to the disciples to have Jesus lay out his expectations for them. But you know what? They did it. They baptized and they taught. And those they taught, baptized and taught, and on down through 2,000 years. There are 2.4 billion Christians today, more than any other major world religion. They baptized and they taught, and through generations of Christians, the commission has been and is still being carried out. Remember back in chapter 1, verse 23, of course you do, chapter 1, verse 23, everybody knows that one, when Matthew writes of the prophecy, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." Matthew completes his gospel with the other half of what they call an inclusio, the two pieces of bread on a sandwich. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Jesus doesn't abandon the disciples to do this work alone, nor does he abandon us, the inheritors of his instructions. Through the Holy Spirit, he remained present to them and is present to us. That is a good thing because we have inherited that commission to baptize and to teach. I return now to Reverend Pagana once again. And so, in obedience to Jesus' command in our gospel lesson, we go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Trinity. We baptize in the name of the God who is love. In baptism, we are buried with Christ in his death, share in his resurrection, and are reborn by the Holy Spirit. We are baptized not only in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but also into the very life of God who is love. To be baptized in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is to participate in the love that is God, the love that moves the sun and the other stars, the love that's known in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the love that is poured into every trembling heart. God is love. Those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. This is to say, God is Trinity, and those of us who are baptized in the name of the Trinity abide in the love that is Trinity, and the love that is Trinity abides in us. Happy Trinity Sunday. Amen.